This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, you're listening to FUBAR Radio. I am Harriet Rose, and today we have an extra special treat for you guys. We're going to be playing a mega mix of some of the best interviews we've had on FUBAR Radio. We're going to be playing all great music, so stay tuned for the next 2 hours because it is going to be a whopper of a show.
Yeah, sway down, I need a girl to come and wear this crown. Yeah, who would have thought, young's linking up with a offer.
I tried to find love, but that blew all my chances. Tried to ride love, but my shit ain't poetic. Tried to buy love, oh, I just ain't got the money. My papa told me that shit priceless, you'll find you don't find it. I said,
sway down.
Sway down. Oh, I say, my papa told me that shit priceless. You'll find you don't find it.
Yeah, sway down. I need a queen to come and wear this crown. Matching rollies, we run this town. If your ex run his mouth, man, we'll run him down. Yeah. They say let love find you. Married to the game, you know how I do. Little bow wow, I need somebody like you. Cut them other girls, I can see right through. Yeah, so I met her on the Monday. Took her for a drink on the Tuesday. On Wednesday, she was in my duvet. We just kicked it and pushed like Lupe. Hit, Blu-ray, love you can't buy. Got me in my feelings and I don't know why. Precious on the rugby, I ain't got a track. Me and you see eye to eye.
I tried to find love, but that blew all my chances. Tried to ride love, buy my shit ain't poetic. Try to buy love, oh, I just ain't got the money. My papa told me that shit priceless. You'll find you don't find it. I said,
sway down.
I said, sway down.
I said, sway down.
Ooh, I said, my papa told me that shit priceless. You'll find you don't find it.
Don't know when I'll be home. I feel low. I don't wanna see kilos, but the G's then reload. Sometimes I wanna speak more. Be sure my G's get freedom. I say, why you standing in the street for? Yeah, but you need to be more.
Oh, you find balance. Gotta keep the balance. You can be the balance. Cause we need the balance. I'm just trying to balance. So I give my mama balance. Put that on my balance. I ain't holding again.
I tried to find love, but that blew all my chances.
I tried to ride love,
but my shit ain't poetic.
I tried to buy love,
oh, I just ain't got the money.
Oh, no. My papa told me that shit priceless. You'll find you don't find it. I said,
Sway down. Sway down.
Oh, I say, my papa told me that shit priceless. You'll find you don't find it. I say,
sway down.
I say,
sway down.
She said, sway down.
They know I said, sway down.
I say, my papa told me that shit priceless. You'll find you don't find it. I said,
sway down.
My papa told me that shit priceless. You'll find you don't find it.
Sweet.
I'm Harriet Rose. This is FUBAR Radio, and I'm live in the studio with Tiggs the author. How's it going?
I'm all good, buddy. How are you?
Rocking a very good hat today, we've just been discussing.
Yeah, thanks.
You're looking very fly. So festival season's kicked off. You're off to Love Box. It's 15th and the 16th of July, but you're playing 16th. You're headlining.
Yeah.
So sick. You excited?
Yeah. I've never been to Love Box before.
Have you not?
Nah.
Oh, it's
never.
A ball. It's a ball. You'll love it.
Never.
And you're straight in at headlining one of the stages. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
It's the Copperberg Urban Forest, which I think will be a good vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I went there last year and it was like quite like vibey sets, like really fun. Everyone's having a party. That's the vibe of Lovebox, though. Everyone's just wanting to have a party.
That's the vibe I want, man.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I want. I hope people are there.
Yeah,
I hope everyone's not like, oh, yeah, there's the next headline somewhere else. And then
No, they're coming for you. They can't miss you. I can't miss you. What's your favourite thing about playing UK festivals? Because you've done a few, you know, you obviously do gigs and festivals, but it's festival season now. You're going straight in doing loads of different stuff. What's different? What's, is it better or worse than normal gigs? Or
because you don't know what to expect, really. Yeah. It could be like you get different crowds all the time.
Yeah.
So it's weird to see which crowds react to what songs and whatnot.
You just have to constantly be changing up, don't you?
Like, you can't keep the same set like every show. So that keeps it exciting.
And is there anything you're kind of planning for the set? Like, have you got any guests coming on? Obviously, you did the run with Lady Leisha and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you got any little secret guests?
Maybe.
Maybe. That's enough for me. I don't need to know anymore. Do you still get nervous when you're performing?
Oh, mate. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. All the time.
Yeah.
I get nervous, like, usually I'm more nervous the day before than on the actual day.
It's kind of thinking about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm always thinking about it. I'm like, okay, don't forget the lyrics. Don't fall down. And then everything should be good.
And has anything bad or embarrassing or funny ever happened to you while you've been on stage?
The last show that I done.
Yeah.
You know, you have like the in-ears and it goes down to the pack. So I ran on stage for the first song. And the pack fell out and it dropped on the floor. All the batteries came out.
Oh no!
So I had to sing throughout the whole first song, like,
With no idea what's going on.
But I still kind of blagged it through. And I was like, oh shit.
As an artist, that must be the scariest thing, because that in ear is so important.
Yeah.
Because you're listening to for people that don't know what it means, you're listening to what the band are playing, basically.
Exactly.
And the track and what's going on. Because you can't actually, if you haven't stood on stage, you wouldn't know, you can't hear anything.
Nope, you can't hear nothing.
Because all the monitors are at the front, aren't they?
Yep, everything's at the front. So when you hear it, it's not the right time. Especially if it's like a massive venue.
Yeah.
There's like a huge delay. So you're going to be singing like, off pitch. I was just trying to listen to the guitarist next to me. I'm like, oh shit.
Just hold on to him and try and like get the beat.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you smashed it anyway.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun.
There's loads of sick artists playing on your day. You've got Sango, Denzel Curry, Jack Garrett, Formation, Jungle, Mike Snow, LCD Sound System. Is there anyone you're specifically looking forward to seeing? Are you going to get the opportunity to go around and see some of the acts at Lovebox?
I think Koji Radical's on the same stage as me. I really want to see him. I ain't seen him before. So
you've got
him.
Actually, your stage is wicked.
Yeah.
You've got Beatty Hart as well on before you, Jodi Abacus. Yeah, loads of sick Cosmic Strip, loads of sick artists to check out.
Exactly. So I'm going to watch all of them, man.
That's what I love about Lovebox, is it's like a full range of talented people from different stages of their career. You know, they're showcasing new music, old music, you know, getting people back from the day. Like, they're doing everything, which is kind of what's right about a festival, I guess. You need to have that full spectrum.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Like, I'm going to try and see as many people as possible.
Just run around.
And just enjoy the whole festival thing.
Yeah. And so you're playing Glastonbury as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're playing loads of other festivals. What kind of thing, you know, obviously, is this your like first, this is the first full on festival season for you where it's like,
this is first full on.
Yeah. Are you kind of nervous about how that's going to go? Because I know it must be hard to do gig after gig after gig, but gig after festival after gig must be like a little bit mentally like.
I'm more excited than nervous, I'll say. Like, that I'm going to be doing a lot of festivals overseas as well. So it's like all new to me.
Yeah.
And all I want to do is share my music with people. So it just feels like the right time. Exactly. The right time for it. And it's just excitement.
The music is sounding wicked at the moment. Run is one of my favourite tracks of this year. Seriously, I love it. And I love Lady Leisha, so it's a wicked, wicked mix.
Yeah, she killed it, innit?
Yeah. She's amazing. She's wicked as well. How did you guys get together?
I've just known her from like a few years ago.
Yeah.
We used to just make music together. I produced for her, yeah.
Sick.
And yeah, I just got her down to the studio, played her the song. She liked it. And then she just done it. It was real quick.
I love that though, when you just, it's like, oh, my mate just came on my song and like did a bar. Like, it's so
Yeah,
sick.
Exactly. It's sick when you can do that.
Yeah.
Proper sick.
You must be a nice guy then.
Oh, totally. Totally.
So we play a little game on our show.
Yeah.
This is me not being a nice guy now. And it's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And on this game, right, let me explain it to you. I don't know if you've heard of Desert Island Discs.
No, I haven't before.
But basically, it's kind of a version of this, where I give you one shit song that you're going to be stuck on a desert island with.
Yeah.
So usually people give you some nice songs, six nice songs, you'll be stuck on a desert island. No. In Desert Island Dicks, you get one shit song that you have to be stuck on repeat over and over and over again. So what would Tiggs the Author's Desert Island Dick be? And don't worry about offending people, because it can be a song that you maybe liked at one point, but you've heard it so many times that it's songs like, you know, like Pharrell Williams' Happy. Some people take that and they're like, oh my God, I can't listen to it again. It's so good, but I can't listen to it again.
Cheerleader.
When I need motivation. Omi. Yes.
Every time I hear that now, I'm like, ah.
Smashing your head against the wall. Yeah. That's a very good Desert Island Dick, though. Yeah. I like that a lot. Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure to have you. Hopefully you can come back and do a little bit of live acoustic for us next time. That'd be wicked.
Yeah, definitely. Harriet Rose
on FUBAR Radio. Very excited to be joined by Tom from Wild Beasts on the line. How's it going?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
It's very exciting time for you guys. Boy King is now out. And I wanted to ask you a quick one, because I found a little quote in NME and it really, I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to ask you about it. It was describing the album as the actual sound of shagging itself. So Tom, elaborate, tell me more about how Boy King is the actual sound of shagging itself.
I'm pretty sure that quote wasn't attributed to us, but I'll take it on anyway. I think the magazine picked up on the kind of like the nastier libidinous kind of things of the record, you know, the kind of the feel of kind of like sleaze and I guess like decadence in the old fashioned like French sense.
Yeah.
So like, I think, but I mean, this record, like, I guess is like I think it's quite a cruel record and quite a kind of like it's kind of a cathartic response to the kind of like cynical times we're living in, you know what I mean? So they kind of like, it's definitely like, whereas like our older records were kind of like full of love songs and kind of like, I guess, lullabies even, like this is very much like a rock record.
This is straight, you know what I mean? This is more straight up, like straight,
I think so,
straight fucking, you could say, really rude.
You definitely could, but I think there's something. I think there's something to be said, the kind of like self-loathing to it as well.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? I think while it's kind of satire, we're also kind of reveling in it.
No, totally. And I personally, I'm absolutely loving it. It's kind of a slightly different sound to what I'm used to with you guys.
Was that
like a deliberate thing from your side, or was it just a natural progression?
It was kind of deliberate, you know. I think we did want to make something that had a bit more like anger and grit to it, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, I think it was a lot more divisive, I think, like, in, you know, we thought it was completely consistent, but I think maybe now we put the record out, it's maybe a little more, it turned out to be a little more divisive than we appreciated, but then that's fine, you know. That's what we should be doing as like quote unquote artists, and especially ones who've been around a while and frankly should know what we're doing by now.
100%.
I think it's certainly kind of like a disruption to what people maybe expected or wanted from us. I think that definitely should be in our locker.
But I think as an artist, you need to sort of have that element of change to keep things exciting for yourselves, because you know you're absolutely,
and also the element of doing what you were going to do regardless of what anyone thinks of it as
exactly.
well. I think that's a really important thing to remember.
And it's come out as a great album as well. And there's some really cool videos. You guys are sort of known for like releasing pretty good videos, intense, like fun. You basically aren't boring with your videos, which
I'm very
absolutely
pleased
love.
To hear you say that.
Well,
very
it's my favourite thing ever, is because I love music, of course, but when you see it visually, it just makes it so much more impactful. But you guys seem to have a lot of fun with your videos, whether it's that it's got more of a serious tinge to it, or even if it's a fun one. I just wanted to ask, do you guys have as much fun as I do watching the videos while you're making them?
Making videos is labor intensive, and it's you know normally when you're a musician you do things at your own schedules, like I got them ready, but it's actually like I'm cameras on you now, You know what I mean? So it's different. It's different, but certainly if we don't have it hard compared to the crew who make it. You know, it's certainly like, I don't know, like the one Forget My Bang was like, you know, an all-night shoot in freezing temperatures. Do you know what I mean? In Belgrade, and like the one in the last month of Big Cat was like 2 days shooting again in the cold in Barcelona. Who knew Barcelona got so cold? But yeah, but again, it's like kind of like, if they come out fine, nothing else matters. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to be able to, you've got to be prepared to take the rough of the smooth.
And do you feel like it's a good way to express sort of how you guys feel about the records by putting them into sort of such deep videos, you know?
Well, I think it's an opportunity to do something good. Do you know what I mean? I think you can't gone are the days where a music video was an afterthought. Do you know what I mean? I think it has to say. Well, I mean, you know, we're no longer. You know, we're no longer kind of hemmed in by MTV. Do you know what I mean? So you can you have a lot of freedom, and also you have to. It becomes part of the overall thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, while totally.
It's funny because you have to pick your collaborators carefully because we're not filmmakers. Do you know what I mean? We have to like work with people who think can help us get there. Do you know what I mean? But I think, you know, it certainly, when they turn out well, it can be really wonderful.
What's your favourite video that you've worked on? Like, even if it's just the how much fun you had on set, what's the favourite video you've worked on?
Wow.
It's a difficult question, I know.
It is. What I'm happiest with, I think, is probably the Simple Beautiful Truth record from the last record.
I think
it's kind of, it's gloriously ridiculous. I think Klaus directed it, you know, he got the tone exactly right.
Yeah, definitely. It's a fucking...
We'll have to make ourselves look ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's the most important thing, right? I think that's what I would do if I was in a band like yours.
Well, you know, almost daily instances of making music full-time where you just have to take your courage in both hands and just go, well, fuck it, we can do this now.
Yeah, <You know? laughs> definitely. So you're off on tour. Well, you've been playing a lot anyway, but you're going around the UK end of this month and beginning of October. You're then off to Europe after that. Tell me, what is the most exciting thing that you look forward to when you're doing these types of tours?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I really love playing live. I feel like I leave a lot of the real me on stage, you know what I mean? And all the kind of, like, anxieties and difficulties don't exist for an hour and a half or something. But, I mean, this record especially is totally a rock record, and the show is totally a rock show, you know what I mean? It's a lot of stuff happening, and, like, you know, I'm, like, playing a lot of, like, ridiculous guitar solos and pointy guitars and that kind of thing.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? It's a fun record, fun and cathartic record to play for us. I'm hoping it's going to be a fun show for everyone because we really enjoy playing this one live.
But that's so important, I think. I think that will come across so well.
I hope so. I think it's very easy to just go through the motions. But I think, I think audiences can tell if you're actually enjoying it or not.
And I saw you've already sold out the Roundhouse in London, which is incredible. What a great venue as well.
Really pleased with that. Really, but we went out the second date as well just because we needed to, which is really awesome. Yeah, we're really pleased.
It's so good. Have you played there before?
We have, yeah, and we did way back when the iTunes Festival wasn't essentially wasn't the Grammys. We did play the iTunes Festival one time, and we supported someone else there. But no, we'd never actually headlined the thing.
That's so exciting.
It's brilliant. It's an amazing venue, and like you can put quite a lot of people in it as well. So
you can put quite a lot of people in there, definitely.
Yeah.
So obviously on tour, things go wrong, you know, you can get on stage, mishaps happen. I was wondering if you could tell me what the weirdest thing is that's ever happened to you guys. It doesn't have to be you personally, but wild beasts while on stage. Have you had any sort of fan invasions or any?
We've been around long, we've had the lot, you know, we've had stage invaders wanting to touch us, and we've been bottled off, and we've had the whole thing. Do you know what I mean? But essentially amplifiers breaking, like, and we have like synth sounds that you're on a computer with a keyboard connected to it. If computer says no, it's just like, well, I'm afraid we can't play now. You know what I mean? So like, so that happens a lot. I mean,
do you think that's character building?
Oh my God, it's crucial. It's crucial. Like, certainly, the fire is absolutely essential. Do you know what I mean? Also, people understand as well. Like, people, things do go wrong. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's things are happening in real time. Do you know what I mean? So I think that any kind of like disaster, as long as you handle it with handle it with good grace, I think it's going to be absolutely fine. But certainly, we've had pretty much everything.
You've had one of all of them.
Yeah. Exactly.
So before we go, what's your and this is really hard question, and I hope you don't mind trying to answer it, but what is your favourite track on Boy King?
Oh God, let's see. If I had to choose, I'd probably say between Ponytail and Alpha Female.
That is very lucky, because that is the song that producer Natalie has chosen to play for you at the end of this interview.
Brilliant, that's great news.
Before we go, we play a little game on this show. It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And in this game, I'm going to have to ask you to answer on behalf of the whole of Wild Beasts on this. But
okay.
I'm sticking you on a desert island, and I'm sending you there with one awful, awful song. One that perhaps you've listened to too many times, or you just hate it straight up. And that is your Desert Island Dick. So, Tom, on behalf of Wild Beasts, can you answer me what your Desert Island Dick would be?
Oh my God! Wow, that is a really tough one. You know what? I actually like this. I know it's terrible. You know the Backstreet Boys song, "I'll Never Break Your Heart."
Yes.
Which contains the lyric, "When I asked you out, you said no," which is just that's pop music. That's from top
that
to bottom.
Is pop
that's
music.
What it's about.
You are going to that desert island with Backstreet Boys. That is incredible. Well, thank you, Tom, so much for coming to have a chat with us. Guys, go and get Boy King now.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Wicked. This is Alpha Female. Cheers, Tom.
Awesome. Pleasure.
Bye.
Ask a shaman, ask a priest. I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm learning that I know the least. Yeah.
locked into FUBAR Radio, and I am joined by the one and only George the Poet. How is it going?
It's all good, man. How are you?
You've had an incredibly busy summer, haven't you?
Yeah.
You just told me you haven't even been on holiday.
No, I should have, man.
Yeah, you kind of look like you're regretting that now, but it's a good thing that you've been so busy.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
So. And you've got your brand new single, which I think it's actually my favourite of all of your singles to date. What do you reckon?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because it comes at the perfect time.
Mm.
I'm a little bit slightly older than GCSEs, but I remember that feeling that it gave you at the time when you think, is this going to be the end of my life? Is this going to change everything? And it doesn't.
Yeah.
It can help you either way, even if you fail, even if you pass. Mm. If you want something, you take it. And I really felt that in the track.
I'm glad you felt that, man. Like, so obviously, when you're young, your life is your life. So people might want to just try and make you feel like it's not that serious, but it's hard for you to feel. But when you know the stories of other people that actually survived, it's easier.
That's the thing, it's the survivors, it's that idea. But don't get me wrong, people should be scared a little bit, because that fear kind of helps you, I think, in life, in anything you do, job interview, exam, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had a situation like that earlier today. I was under mad pressure, but I got the work done. And
now you feel amazing, because it's like that weird buzzy feeling that you're like, oh my God, thank God.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think it hits out at not just the teenagers, but also people in general. You could be 45 and wishing you'd done something you didn't do. You just go and do it, and then that's your life changed there. I feel like that's...
Yeah, I mean, like, part of the inspiration behind it was Brexit. Am I lying? No, I wrote it before Brexit. I had it in mind when I released it. I was like,
how can you not? The hideous...
You know, like, so I was like, listen, we have to move forward.
Yeah.
And we have to stay afloat. So, like, I reckon we could do it. Let's get on with it.
It's really exciting as an artist that you're dipping into these political situations and you're turning them into art, because I think a lot of young people and everybody generally in the world, people that are maybe too busy for politics, maybe not interested, or you know, doing it through music can open it up
in
such
a
different way that people kind of connect. Is that what your goal is? You know, because obviously you've got a keen interest in politics. Is that something that you're looking to do?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm pursuing this path as opposed to being in politics. When I was in uni, I thought I was going to go into politics. So while I am in this path, I need to satisfy that urge within me to affect the democratic process, which is what my new tour is based on. Like, I've got a model of engagement, which is like, if I talk about something, we are going to do something about it, which is how it all comes together. And that's what I want to do with my
The Search Party.
That's right. That's what The Search Party is about.
Yeah.
We search for the answers together.
I feel like also maybe there's still a chance for you to go into politics later down the line. You never know.
Yeah,
you might retire from music and become the next Prime Minister.
Potentially still.
I would feel pretty comfortable if you became Prime Minister, I'm not going to lie.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to that. Don't let me down at the
No,
time.
I'm not letting you down now.
I might run independently. I don't want everyone to laugh and be like, you actually
I'll be your
us.
Aide or whatever that they have.
I'll take that.
I'll be the worst aide ever, because I know.
No, it's cool. We've got a pen. I'll get that in writing after the interview. After the interview.
I'm going to make you sign that at the end. No, it's really exciting to sort of be part of that movement within sort of young people as well. You're inspiring people. Do your fans say that to you a lot?
Yeah, they say that a lot. And obviously, we are at a time where we're being forced to have an opinion on a lot of stuff. The minute I got into uni, you know, like, education fees were tripled. And we had protests. There's not protests at university ever. Well, there probably is. But that was the first time. That was my first experience of a protest in an education setting.
Yeah.
Because we're being forced to have an opinion on things that are affecting us right now. My friend's a doctor. They're going on strike in a couple of days. You know, like, he just became a doctor. And this is the world that he's entered. Because, you know, we are the generation that dealt with the financial crash. And we're looking at a lot of consequences. Yeah, man. So we better be awake.
So what's coming next? What's the next political sort of fuel for your fire? Like, what? I feel like I want to know what the next...
What I'm trying to do is get people to think about sustainable development. Obviously, that's just about the survival of our planet. There are certain things that we're doing, that we're used to doing, that we don't actually think about as life-threatening.
Yeah.
for example, gender inequality. That's a life-threatening issue. Mm-hmm. If we don't understand the, you know, like the value of a female life and how that can be expanded and how any oppression of that is an oppression of the world in general and our sustenance, then we're going crazy. Likewise, water shortage. There's a, you know, we're heading to a situation in 2050 when half of global grain might not be here. So a billion people won't have access to basic things, you know. And if we ain't thinking about that, we're just going to sleepwalk into that situation. But luckily, you know, I got a microphone.
And it's really important that you keep talking that stuff on that microphone as well. Obviously. And I'm loving your videos. I always love your videos. They're always a bit exciting, doing something interesting. Tell me, is there a video coming for What Do You Reckon?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Do we have any sneaky tidbits of what might happen, what the theme of the video might be?
No.
Not allowed?
No.
Not even maybe what colour your jumper is going to be that you wear?
No.
It's not going to be yellow, no?
Yes or no, and it's no.
Maybe, no. Nothing. Can't drag anything out. Well, we're really excited for that. Now let's talk a bit about tour.
Yes, let's do that.
Headline tour coming up.
Yeah, man.
You're saying it's going to be different. Search Party Tour is going to change a bit for you. Tell me what is going to happen on this tour.
So for me, it's the next step. I've done music and poetry, and everyone's familiar with that. But I've never really got my audience to prove what I'm saying and affect society. And that's what we're going to be. As long as you're in the audience, as long as you've bought a ticket, you are going to be part of a movement that follows on after the show. So obviously, in all my poetry, all my work, I talk about something. And in this tour, I'm passing the mic to the audience. I'm like, okay, like, you know, like we play games. It's like, yeah. What do you think of this issue that I've spoken about? And after the show, through an app that I'm creating, you're going to have the opportunity to engage with all of these different individuals and organizations and activities in society that are doing something about the issues I'm talking about.
That's so exciting. No one's done anything like that before, and not at least in my experience. I haven't seen anything like that.
I think it can work.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen the mic passed, but it doesn't sound like it's going to have as good a reaction as what your mic passing might have.
It's going to be fine.
I think it's good as well because your fans will have, or at least are developing a keen interest in doing that and having their say.
100%.
Which is actually kind of the only upside of all the negative, horrible things that are happening at the moment, is that people are getting involved and doing something about it, especially young people.
Okay. And politicised, right.
Would you agree, like, are your friends the same, like, you know, your friends from back when you were 5 to your friends that you've met recently, like, are they interested in politics as much as you?
There's a range, like, not everyone around me is actually interested in politics, but we can't help but talk about what's happening to
us. That's the important thing,
isn't
it?
That's all it is, yeah, Search Party.
So, Search Party's coming up. Do you still get nervous when you perform, especially now you're doing something completely different and you're taking on a new challenge with this tour? Do you still get nervous?
Yeah, I get mad nervous. So nervous, like, all the time. But that's what keeps me alive. That's what keeps me going.
And what ritual do you have to kind of chill the nerves before you go on stage?
Push-ups.
Push-ups.
I just do like mad push-ups.
I can't even do a push-up, let alone do push-ups before I go on stage. I mean, not that I go on stage, but that is pretty impressive.
No, it's not impressive. It's like OCD. I have to do it.
Do you do it like, are you on your own in a room or is there loads of people with you?
I do weird things, like I find an empty corridor. Like, and I'm just weird. But, and someone, I can hear someone coming, I'm just get up.
And yeah, like, yeah. And then you're just casually leaning against the wall. Amazing.
Push-ups? No push-ups here.
I really want to catch you pushing up at some point before a gig. That would be sick. Well, I'm definitely going to be coming down to the London one, and you're going all across the country to all the main spots. Yep. Manchester, okay. Bristol, so exciting.
Glasgow, Birmingham. We're going to be
my hometown. Well, just by. I'm from very near Birmingham, so okay. And it's a good crowd there. You're going
to
enjoy
it. Yeah, no, I love Birmingham every time, man. Can't wait to see everyone.
It's going to be a big. It's going to be a big, exciting tour for you. I feel it in my bones.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah,
like even to just go and watch it, it's going to be that buzzy sort of exciting feeling. You know,
It's the start of something still.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Well, this is a bit of a random question now. What would you say, honestly, is the best thing about what you do?
The best thing?
For you, in your heart, like, what's the real best thing about being George the Poet?
You're trying to get a cheesy answer out of me.
No.
Okay, so best thing about
saving the world. World peace.
Being able to keep people company when they need it.
That is a very good answer. Had you planned that? I promise I hadn't told him before now that was I was going to ask him that.
Yeah. When you record something, people can access it whenever they want. You don't have to physically be with them. And sometimes some, you know, forms of depression or mental illness can mean that no matter how many people are around you, you feel lonely unless you get the right kind of engagement, which people tell me they do from my work.
That is so amazing that people tell you that as well.
Yeah, man.
You must, like, have such a nice sort of relationship with your fans.
Everyone says their fans are the best because it's like, you know, a way to make people happy. But I never say this, but my fans are the best. Like, I've never felt off, put off or, like, imposed upon. Everyone comes up to me and has a very respectful, loving conversation. So big up all my listeners, man.
I'm one of those, so I'm probably not as nice as all of them, but...
This has been a respectful, loving conversation, I would say.
On my show, I play a little game, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit rude, but I'll see... I think you'll be good at it. It's called Desert Island Dicks, and in this game, I get you
Sorry,
to...
Sorry, did you say Desert Island Dicks?
Yeah.
You don't just throw that in the conversation. Yeah. Like, oh,
I know. Every time I say dick, everyone like freaks out or looks at me like I've said something else and they're not sure if I've said dick or not. No, I did say dick.
No, that was a dick.
In this game, I get you to pick a track that you would absolutely hate to be stuck with on a desert island. Mm. And that is your desert island dick. So, George the Poet, please, can you tell me what your desert island dick would be?
I'm blue, dabba dee dabba die, and dabba dee dab. I would feel like I'm in Hunger Games.
I mean, that would be horrendous. Imagine if you also had the video as well on replay.
It's Hunger Games. Tell me that's not like a round in Hunger Games where you have to find the off button.
Well, yeah, I think that is the next Hunger Games film, actually. Finding the off button on a desert island for Blue Dabba Dee Dabba Dine. Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us at FUBAR Radio. Everybody's
I believe in the meaning of spoken word, the feeling of freedom and healing the bleeding. In need of a reason, I wrote this verse. Yo, I hope this works. Being strong feels exactly the same as being weak. The difference is you don't quit, not until you reach the peak. I believe in the meaning of spoken word. It's more than a speech to speak. It's what I feel when I'm sitting in your presence. The answers are written in your essence. It's all a test to see if you're made for it. But best believe it's your claim on it. Cause you got a destiny with your name on it. Gonna go through things you don't deserve, and it's gonna hurt like an open nerve. So just know your soul's as old as earth, and whatever you do, don't be told it's worth. Being strong feels exactly the same as being weak. The difference is you don't quit, not until you reach the peak. I believe in the meaning of spoken word. It's more than a speech to speak. It's what I feel when I'm sitting in your presence. The answers are written in your essence. It's all a test to see if you're made for it. So go for it, you can't wait for it. Cause you got a destiny with your name on it. Name on it.
listening to Fubar Radio, and I am literally fangirling to the max because I've got MIA in the studio right now. Oh my God! Thank you so much for coming down to have a chat with us. Very exciting day today. AIM is out.
It's finally out.
It's finally out. You're eating a whisper. You're feeling good.
Yeah. Not going to be whispering. It's actually an aero.
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was a whisper. Oh, that's changed. That's changed things for me.
No, but whispers it my second favorite.
That's your thing. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So aero's first, whisper second.
Yeah, when I need to shut the fuck up and I've said way too many things, I eat a whisper.
It's so weird because my first question was always going to be, what is your favorite chocolate?
Really?
No. But I wish it had been. I wish it had been. So you must feel pretty
chocolate
relieved.
Chocolate full stop is my favourite chocolate. Do you know what I mean? I don't care who
anything,
makes it, how it comes, if it's organic or not. I just don't care.
You just need to eat it.
Yeah.
So you must be pretty buzzing today, finally out. It's been coming for a little while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you were waiting a long time for it to be released? Or was this, you know, you were working on it up until this point?
It was originally going to come out in July,
yeah,
I think, and now it's September, which I like because it's 9/9, and if you add 2016, it makes 9.
Oh, that yeah. I didn't even get that. That is so sick.
9/9/9. Call the emergency. AIM is out. Go get it. Fire engine. Whoop, cool, whoop, me whoop, down, whoop, cool me down. Cool me down.
Whoop, whoop. It's the sound of the police. MIA's album is out. Yeah, it must have been a bit of a relief coming out then. If it's meant to be out in July, but you've obviously still been working on it since then, yeah? Since July to now, have you still
no.
been... Oh, you've literally let it go?
Yeah.
So it
oh,
must
the
be-
only thing that got added from July to now is Zayn.
Yes. Oh, let's talk about Zayn.
Everybody wants to talk about Zayn, I'm Zayn.
Well, I reckon you brought it up first. Nah, I probably brought it up first.
Right? I said something that was true because that is what we made in that last two months. But,
Was that sort of a thing that you have been interested in doing? If you wanted to work with Zayn for a while, were you interested in his sort of solo stuff? Or
no, last year I wrote a song for Zayn, but it didn't get used.
So you had hooked up already in a way? Like
Yeah. But because it was not very good. And
I can't believe that.
Yeah. It was not very good. And then I just left it, and then he got on my album. You know,
well, it's a sick track. It's nice to have that because it's not very like it's quite unexpected, to be honest. It's quite cool to pop something on the record that's completely not what people would expect, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely not. You know, there are things I had to deal with about myself on this record, and it's like personal stuff and professional things, political things. And I think working with Zayn was part of that process to be like, okay, you know, it's about bridges. And I'm just a bridge, of, you know, in the middle of many communities and societies and stuff. And it was nice bridging the gap between my world and his.
Yeah,
really.
Definitely. Yeah. And I feel like there's loads of messages coming out of there, but I wanted to ask what your message was from AIM, like what you wanted to put across from this album. It's a really broad, difficult question, I understand.
It is. The one that I've been saying, which is the easiest way to explain, is like, because everyone's like, oh my God, MIA's gone soft. Like, what's happened? And, you know, people are sort of like, I don't want them to, like, take the piss out of the united colours of, like, Bennett and Ness of this album. But I grew up in a time where, you know, I was inspired by lots of things, and I made 5 albums, and I just feel like if kids want the aggro side of me, it's there on my previous stuff, you know.
Yeah, you're still a bad girl.
Yeah, still, that's not going to go away, yeah. You know, but it's just coming to terms with things and trying to get balanced and trying to figure out, okay, this is, you know, my friends are like, well, you're just not going to be with anyone ever, or, you know, it's difficult for you to be normal because I've gone from so many extremes, and so, you know, it's difficult for people to understand, or one person to understand all of it, you know, because you're constantly sort of moving the boundaries of what things can be or how it's perceived, you know. So, like, my story isn't just like, oh, I used to be really poor and, you know, I came from a council flat and look at me now, I live in Beverly Hills. You know, and it's not just, oh yeah, I was part of the Tamil struggle, because I was, you know, coming from a political family in Sri Lanka who already were weird amongst other Tamil families, you know, and then to come from that and then you become a pop star to talk about it, which is already weird for Tamils, you know. It's like, they're like, what are you going to do with music, you know, that people can't solve with guns on a real battlefield? And finally, all of these things come together and you just have to, like, accept it. It's like, that's just what it is. It's that vast, and maybe one person can be that complicated, and it's not a negative thing, you know.
It's an exciting thing as a fan, as a big fan of yours. It's an exciting thing to experience your life through music, because it is ever changing. It is always going to be something else. You're letting something else out.
Yeah, I feel like I could have only happened once they invented Wikipedia. Do you know what I mean? Because it's so confusing. If I fucking existed before Wikipedia, it'd be over. Like, I never would have made it. It's as simple as that. You know, yeah. I owe my success to, like, the internet and Wikipedia, especially, because you can be like, oh, where's Sri Lanka? What yeah. the fuck is a Tamil? Or, you know, where's St. Martin's and who went there before? Da-da-da. You can just click on all these things because you just put the weirdest communities together. You know.
Yeah, and, totally. Social media is like,
yeah, it's like a musical form of Wikipedia. That's what I am. That's my career.
When you first started, you were putting tracks on MySpace as well. And that was yeah. like a good, I mean, social media has been a huge part of your career. Mm. And you're really, what's exciting as an artist, for fans specifically, is you're really like on social media. You talk to your fans on Twitter and you use Periscope and all the other stuff. Is it for you important to connect directly with the fans in that way, or is it just a personal thing that you enjoy using social media?
Well, I don't know. It's like a blessing and a curse, you know, because for someone like me, social media is like super important, because you're no longer at the hands of the media. And every day I wake up and I go, today is the day I'm going to delete all my social media.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I have
yeah.
that thought every day.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
get
yeah.
me wrong, I do. But then it just puts me back in the, you know, then what am I going to do? You know what
yeah.
I mean? So
it's scary nice to be off social media, but it's scary to be on it at the same time, right?
Yeah, it's like on the one hand, I'm just like, no, now I'm going to go and like move to a mountain and meditate.
Yeah.
I don't want social media. But on the other hand, it's like, no, look, I've learned all these things and it can actually be useful. It just gets interpreted wrong by the media sometimes.
Yeah.
So you do need direct access to your fans to be like, oh no, remember when they said that 6 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, now they're saying the opposite. And can we talk about this?
You can quote retweet that from 6 years ago and be
yeah,
like, excuse
yeah, exactly.
me. Excuse
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Like, you can't, you know, it's like quite nice to have the history.
Yeah. Talking of social media, you tweeted, my LP is my breakup LP with music. I'm hoping this means maybe not the end of music, just the end of albums. Is that right?
No, it was a breakup album with the musical soundtrack.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just tell
with
me.
With music on.
Just tell me it doesn't mean that you're going away. Just tell me it doesn't mean you're leaving us.
No, I think, you know, I had 5 albums to make with Interscope and Janelle will tell you different. She's like, no, you're going to make some more. But, you know, I feel like I've done that. And now if I was going to make another album, I would like to make it in a different format or
yeah.
some other form. But I feel like, you know, if I was going to make music for my fans, then I would just make it and put it out.
Yeah.
And or I would have to sign to not a label.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was thinking about that, trying to be, is it Chief Keef that just like signed to like a random person?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's really interesting now where
yeah.
I could just, I feel like, you know, maybe I could go and like sign to Walker's Crisps or like, you know, like,
I mean, I
want
to sign to the Walker's Crisps right now. Like, that
yeah,
would be sick.
Because I don't know how I benefit from being signed to like a label, you know.
A lot of people, a lot of music artists are doing it. A lot of artists are going, you know,
and it's weird. It's weird once, like, labels start having a political agenda, you know what I mean? And then you're just like, oh, that's so boring. Because you want music to be a place where it bypasses politics and it bypasses, like, governments and bypasses all this shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole point, you know, and it should be, like, the people's space.
Yeah.
But the career I've had, you know, it's been so up and down, and it's not always the label's fault, but it's the times changed, and, you know, if you're signing to certain labels or certain corporations, it is political and it's not fair, you know, because I'm always caught up in these sort of ignorant kind of wheels of corporate decisions that, you know, could change depending on who's running it, you know, and I just don't want to be in that situation again. This is like a big statement right here, because I haven't really talked about it like this. So, yeah, it's just what I've been thinking, really, you know. Yeah.
It's a huge statement. I want to almost not say anything for, like, 2 minutes now after that. Like,
yeah, you know.
But it's an exciting step to know that you want to take, you know, in a way. It's like, you know, you want something different.
I want something different. I want musicians to not be closely, you know, guarded with what they can and can't say. And
I heard you speaking about Rihanna when she tweeted Free Palestine and it was deleted, and that's a perfect example of...
Yeah, that is. And then when I talked about it, like, I had the shitstorm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really make it clear that that's why I said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does then come down to actually affecting, you know, like... Yeah, Brianna said Free Palestine, and I made an observation to be like, oh, damn, she can't even say that.
Mm-hmm.
From England, you know, where you think you could say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And then it got turned against me, you know, when I said, yeah, musicians in America can't say what they want, you know, except for American things.
Yeah.
And it got turned against me, and I feel like that's interesting, but now I have the right to talk about it because it really happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it happened to me. And it's not like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because I've been at the NFL, got sued for $16 million. You know, I've been at all these labels. I've lived in America. I've come from England. I come from Sri Lanka too, where I spent 10 years of my life. I lived through a revolution. You know, my people really got killed in 2009 when I was at the Oscars. I can say what the fuck I want at this point, because I know it, you know, and there were real personal consequences to some of the things that I went through.
Before we finish off, I wanted to play a little game with you that I play on this show. And
oh my God.
It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And in this game, everyone seems to have this reaction when I say dick on the radio. It's based on a game called Desert Island Discs, where you get sent to an island and given a choice of six best tracks, you know, to live on the island with. I'm not that nice. I'm sending you to this island with one awful, awful song that you're going to listen to for the rest of your life. So what MIA could you imagine to be the worst possible song to be stuck on a desert island? That is your desert island dick.
My kid's six times table song, you know what I mean? It's like, it's the one that he listens to every day. So right now it'd be something like that. It's just like, you know, a Crazy Frog.
Crazy Frog's a good one. Crazy Frog is a very good one. I think everybody in the world can't listen to that more than once.
Yeah.
Even once is a strain.
Gangnam Style, like those kind of situations there. The new sort of stuff, I really like the new sort of pop songs. Like, I love Katy Perry's Rise.
Yeah.
It's going to go all over the internet. So,
well, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. It's been a personal huge pleasure to have you here. I love AIM. It's a wicked album. Hopefully you'll come back and see us another time when you're back. but enjoy the rest of the day of fun after the album release.
Thank you.
Woo!
I thought of the song
tell us. Desert Island Dick.
It's the one that goes, I don't care.
Oh, I love it. I can't remember who that's by.
Yeah, I can't do
it. It's those two girls, though. Iconopop, I don't care, MIA's Desert Island Dick. Thank you so much. Let's go with the Bird Song. This is the Black Star remix.
Not a liar, but sure in a vulture. Don't swallow that, cause I'm in the culture. I'm not a liar, but they ain't rich like an ostrich. Like an ostrich. Drop down, get your eagle on. Like a falcon. Fly phenomenon. I'm in higher than a drone. Doves cry, are you going home alone? Squad block, migrate for the summer. Dot cat for some hot weather. Birds of prey and I'm shaking off my feather. I believe, like R. Kelly, we can fly. Both two can fly together. Staying rich like an ostrich. Gully like a seagull. I'm cuckoo for you, let's talk.
To say that I'm joined by Benjamin Francis Leftwich in the studio right now. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm really excited to have you here, I'm not going to lie.
Thanks so much. I'm really pleased to be here. I can barely see you for all the metal chaos that's going on.
We are huge fans of you on the show.
I really appreciate that.
You've been away for a little while.
Yeah.
We're incredibly excited to have you back.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate that.
Tell us a bit about summer, because you talk about it being a long, hard year, and you know, summer's here, sort of like happiness is here. Can you tell us the backstory of this one?
Yeah, so me and my friend Joe had been living together on a tour bus on tour for like 2 months, and we finished that run of shows, and he pretty much straight away moved into my house in Yorkshire when I lived there, and we set up a studio in the living room. And
sounds amazing.
We had to do it there, just had to be there for my dad and stuff, you know, and family reasons, and it's definitely one of the straightest songs I've ever written lyrically. You know, one of my big inspirations for it was that song Waiting on a Sunny Day by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favourite songs, you know, and it's kind of straight up about waiting for the sun to come up and, you know, hope for the future, and just a positive message that has come out of a space of darkness, you know.
You can really feel that. It's a very sort of emotive track, and it makes it, I mean, I guess for an artist it must be, you're trying to put something across to people that makes them feel.
Yeah, totally. It's funny, I was talking about this I can't remember who I was talking about with it a couple of hours ago, but it was someone, and was saying, you know, the ultimate compliment is when someone says to your face or emails you or leaves you a message saying, you know, wow, if this song has been played at someone who's close to me, it's been played at their funeral or it's been played at their wedding, yeah. Or, you know, me and my partner fell in love with this song, we listened to it when we were travelling, or things like that, you know, really mean a lot and mean more than any kind of, you know, ticket or record sales or things like that, you know. So, and I'm really blessed that I get those kind of messages every day, you know, through the mad chain of events over the past 6 years. It means a lot to me, you know, and it also is a sense of responsibility as an artist to be true to yourself and your own artistry and true to the world around you. You know, I'm lucky that I collaborate with a lot of bands and, you know, work with them on their songs and stuff. And I was in a project the other day and the drummer said, oh, you know, I don't want to play, I'm just really up for all of this, but I never want to play in shitty bars in Doncaster. And I just thought, you fool. You have no idea, and you never will. And it's the most offensive thing you can say, because of all the places in the country, you know, not that I'm an expert on, like, you know, socio-geographical facts, but the people in Doncaster, I know from spending a bit of time there, get treated, like, terribly by a government, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, actually, that you need to go and play in Doncaster more than you have been, you know what I mean? And that kind of thing of, oh, only one, and you know, the same guys are like slagging off Coldplay and stuff, and it's like, well, actually, what do we do this for? I mean, I'm much more interested in connecting with exactly those people you were saying you don't want to go and play for than this weird, small, niche group of, like, faux creative hipsters that you surround yourself with. So
you are every sort of, like, fan's dream artist, just saying that, you
thank
know?
You I appreciate that, but they're like other music, that's how I think about other musicians, you know what I mean? Like, I'm obsessed with Bat for Lashes and PJ Harvey and Goldfrapp and new bands and, you know, everything, and like two of my favourite artists of all time are the Beatles and Kanye West, you know what I'm saying, which is like total polar opposites in terms of their presentation, but what they both have is real talk and an ability to connect with many, many people from all walks of life, you know.
And I think you grow and learn from doing those small gigs and because I hear that a lot of bands that are like, I just want to play in London, I just want to play huge venues, and it's like, well, actually, you need to go and play the smaller places, because that's where you connect with your crowd and you actually create a fan base.
Yeah, totally. And that learning thing is so important, you know, learning. And it is hard though, as a creative, because I get what it's like, especially when you're young and you're on your first album, you know, you kind of think, all right, everything I'm doing is perfect, no one can tell me what to do, you know what I mean? And then you kind of grow up and realise that there's amazing people doing things all around us, and I could be equally as inspired sitting in a room with a 16-year-old making music than I could be with someone who's sold millions and millions of records and written hit songs, you know. And I've had experience of both, and the spiritual and musical value is dependent totally on the energy in the room and the person you're talking to, you know.
I think that's why you've got such a big fan group, though, because you emanate this essence of sort of someone who's just so grateful to be doing what they're doing and so happy to be there.
I'm really super grateful to be doing what I'm doing, and I am as well, but I also, if I see something, I'll call it, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
I don't kind of... I think there's a thing, especially, like, you know, certain groups of whoever want to put music in, like, folk or pop or acoustic, and actually it's all this... We're all cousins, you know what I mean? We're all writing songs, and the only thing that matters at the end of the day is when someone in your life who you've never met before, your label have never met, turns on the music, they turn off after 10 seconds, or do they keep it on for 3 minutes and then get the lyrics tattooed to their body? you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
at the extreme, which, as we all know, can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm totally in love with it, but I'm no angel either, you know. I definitely make mistakes, and I think me and a lot of the... Well, some of the songwriters that I know and that I spend time with who are very exceptionally kind of creative and deep and troubled in their own way, I've kind of learned to deal with that, and I'm calm with it, and now I'm my way around tour and releasing records and stuff, but they're all crazy, you know what I mean? And so I'm very tolerant with people's personalities when I know that if I know that they're exceptionally creative and truly and genuinely creative. Otherwise, I'm not. But if they are, you know, I think...
There's a fine line,
isn't
there?
There's a fine line. And also there's a line between ego and arrogance, which is fine as well.
Which does get crossed back and forth in the music industry quite often.
It's like a yo-yo.
So After the Rain is coming out tomorrow. It's an exciting day for you. Obviously, anticipation is high. You know, Snowstorm, which came out 2009, wasn't it?
2011.
2011, sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
how different is this album? Like, have you, do you feel like you've changed as an artist since, because obviously it was a long time ago, it's 2016, yeah. You're sort of bringing something completely new, and we were talking earlier about how you've taken a little time out to do your own thing, keep working on music and doing different stuff, but yeah. Have you changed as a musician, or is this sort of a transitional?
Yeah, I think totally I have. I mean, obviously there's a classic thing of everyone's got their whole life to write their first album up until the point it's released, you know. And also there's a thing of just like, whether you're a musician or not, between the ages of 21 and 26, you grow up a lot.
Yeah.
And for me, true. You know, and then you kind of look...
You're like a different person.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you look back at your old like Bebo account or something. Oh, no, what was I doing?
Or
you
know? My MySpace account, which I can't delete, and I don't know how to get onto it. It's just there. I can't do anything about that.
You shouldn't say that on the radio.
Oh, shit. I just realised that.
But yeah, I'm grateful at the moment, and I think my taste in music and my appreciation of what I consider to be, you know, valid and beautiful has changed a lot and opened up a lot. And a lot of the records I've been listening to have, of course, sonically informed working with Charlie Andrews, who's an amazing producer on After the Rain. And Charlie's become one of my best friends, and he's the best musician I've ever met. And recording with him was a dream. And I saw him a few days ago. I'll probably call him tonight at midnight, just like, we need to go back in at 3 a.m. and change one thing. But, yeah, you know, he's a blessing. And I think I've got... As you grow up as a songwriter, specifically in answer to your question, your appreciation for craft changes a lot.
Yeah.
You start realizing that actually, you know, there's worth in re-editing and really thinking about the end line of the second verse and the way the chorus goes in. And, you know, these really musical things that a lot of people just kind of sit there and go, oh, it's just going to come to me, man. It's just natural, you know.
I'm really excited to hear the album in full. And also, I love Summer. Just like quite connected with it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm pleased I played that one then.
Yeah, it's light at the end of the tunnel vibes, you know?
It's sort of like... It's totally, and I think it sits well, you know, with songs like Atlas Hands and Pictures and Box of Stones. There's a high level of ambiguity in those songs, but I kind of like that that's offset in Summer, you know, and Summer's, like you say, just hope for the future and... Yeah, the sun.
Yeah, the sun.
The sun.
Which we're lacking today, but maybe really? The sun is going to come out tomorrow because it's, you know, release day.
Yeah, I hope so.
What are you going to what are you going to do tonight in preparation for tomorrow?
I may go up to Hampstead Heath and chill by myself for a bit.
Just like zen.
Yeah,
become
totally.
Zen, become
yeah,
one.
Just make some phone calls, you know what I mean, to people who are important in my life. And to be honest, like, without meaning to sound too sensationalist, I'm going to apologise to a couple of people tonight. You know, like, in terms of just people, not that stuff I could really say, go into detail on, but you know when there's just stuff in your personal life that you've let get a little bit out of hand, and it's just sitting there, and you're just like...
You want to clear the slate.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? So just kind of see some friends and just be like, look, everything's chill. I've thanked like 100 people on the inlay of the album who are...
Amazing.
...who I'm really close to. I'm going to eat some food. I'll probably be a little bit nervous. I'll just think about everything, you know, but mainly I think how grateful I am to have made this album and how important it was for me and how grateful I am to the beautiful people around the world who keep listening and staying connected. I don't really like the word fans. I understand why people use it, but to me it's like I don't like the word support, you know, when someone like opens for your games, it implies that you're like, there's a separation.
Yeah.
When it's, but you know, that's...
Not many artists think the way that you do, I must say.
Yeah, it's probably to their... benefit, you know. But
so album's coming out tomorrow and then you're off on tour next year, April, May, right? That's exciting.
Oh, I'm going on tours I'm on tour from September till Christmas.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've got April. I haven't even got that information here, so that is new to me and hopefully to all of our audience.
April, May isn't true.
Oh, it might be that it's just written April, May here. And
you've probably got the old release from when we did the first
sorry.
UK
so
tour.
So you're off on tour this winter?
Yeah, I'm going UK tour all through September, playing London September 22nd at Islington Assembly Hall. Then I'm on tour in Europe through October, and then America through December, and then Canada in the new year.
What's the best thing about touring?
Discovering new amazing music.
That's so good. Loads of artists say, I haven't got time to listen to music, I haven't got time to connect with other people. Like, it's so refreshing to
I've got like brothers and sisters that I've met on tour who are like, you know, coming with us on tour and playing shows with us. So.
Amazing.
Yeah, and seeing new places. And also, you know, when you've got like friends from school or whatever who've like gone to like a random part of the world and got married and like no one ever sees them anymore. And then when you're on tour, they can just like roll through and just like hang out with them. And
that's so nice.
Yeah,
I bet you've got friends all over the world as well because you've toured. And
I have now because I've toured quite a lot, which is a real amazing. My friend Alexander, who's an actor in New York, I was sound checking there a couple of weeks ago, and he just like walked. It was the first day of tour. He just like walked into the venue. We ended up getting lunch, and it was just like,
aww.
You know. And it's just like some. And also, because you're always moving around on tour, when you do form a relationship of any kind, it's like super
intense. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I'm rolling in the morning.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
the train
yeah.
to 8 a.m. So.
It's got to go hard or go home.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, before you go, we just want to play a quick game with you. We play a game on the show called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
I thought I heard you say that earlier.
And in this game...
I'm just going to put my guitar down so I'm not...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Please do.
I'm listening to you.
In this game, I get you to pick a song that you would rather die than be stuck with on a desert island. So it's like your most hated song in the world. So Benjamin Francis Leftwich, what is your Desert Island Dick?
Wow, can I have like a little bit, like a couple of seconds just to
you
think?
You can have a couple of seconds to think about
also,
it.
And also, I don't really...
Remember that it doesn't have to be something you hate. It can be something that you just couldn't be bear to be stuck
right,
with.
Yeah, because I don't really hate any songs.
No, you yeah, you don't mean? Have to hate it. You could just not want to hear that over and over again. People always have one that comes into their head that they don't want to say because they are scared of offending people. But actually, the realistic thing is, a lot of people who have those kind of songs know that they probably wouldn't want to be stuck on a desert island with that song either.
Right, I'll say what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I knew you had
so
one.
I've got something now, but I need to offset it with I'm a big fan of her music.
Okay, go on.
And I thought all her songs have been amazing, you know. I thought Teenage Dream especially.
Oh, Katie.
And I'm going to go there. And I was really excited for Rise. I saw it all over the internet.
Oh, and...
And I put it on a couple of weeks ago, and let's be real. it's no Teenage Dream, you know what I'm saying? It's not California Girls. It's not Fireworks. It's nothing.
But it sounds like okay because you're a big fan of her. You know a
yeah,
lot of
I
her
love
songs.
Her. She's
I
amazing.
Love her too.
Yeah, she's
but I agree.
It's just kind of like weirdly like orchestral and like overly like. I feel like Rihanna did the Star Trek tune, you know, and then Katy Perry went, I need to get in that vibe.
I need to get in that Star Trek headspace.
Yeah, even the Star Trek one, I'm. Again, I've only listened
here?
To it once or twice, but and I love Rihanna. Needed me.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But, I'm just in this weird, like, spacey, adventurous,
no.
like... Yeah, no, sorry, not for me.
Not for me. Well, thank you so much. Everybody who is listening, please go out and get After the Rain. We're really excited. I'm going to be buying it. And we're going to come
thank
check you.
You
out when you're on tour, because we'd love to come and see
legend.
You.
Well,
thank you so
welcome.
Much for coming to chat with us.
Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah.
welcome to FUBAR Radio. Myself and Michael Payne are here with the king of R&B, Craig David. How's it going?
So good. How are you?
I'm so good that I'm around you. This is so exciting.
It is an enlightening experience.
Energy's right in the building.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It feels good in it.
Absolutely.
Personally, I'm loving One More Time. Your brand new single is so sick.
Thank you.
Got that perfect Craig David vibe.
It's nostalgic.
Yeah.
Wicked. It's nostalgic, man.
But it's like a 2016 twist, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it would fit right in the sort of genesis of Craig David, but at the same time, it's a really sort of mature hark back to it.
I feel like it's kind of just back in my lane of what I always loved doing from back in the day.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Working with a guy from up in Manchester called White Nerd, who produced when the Bassline drops as well.
Yeah.
Having him produce it, because he's young, knows the vibe, and he's like, yeah, we can do the garage thing, Craig, but it's got to have that drop that's 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be what was going on back then. And the fact he found that balance for me.
Absolutely. Because even when the Bassline drops, that's how I would describe it.
Yeah.
It's a modern take on, you know, that sort of nostalgic bubbling music. It's fully you just bubble to it.
You're starting to see people come back out with a
absolutely, you know what I mean? For me that never left. The music changed slightly, but I was still doing
still,
that, you know?
Still
I was still doing that.
The craziest thing is I'm seeing like 11 even younger actually, to be honest, but 11, 12 year olds tweeting saying, oh, have you heard this garage banger? There's this new artist called Craig David.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no!
But that's
the best thing, that you get that next wave of fans that don't know about the old stuff, which is the best stuff.
But do you feel slightly hard done by when they do talk about you as a new artist, considering the amount of albums you've sold, the amount of lives you've touched, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, from so long ago, do you kind of feel a little bit like, you maybe could have did your research before you tweeted that?
Do you know, the weird thing is, you kind of mentioned it then, the people who did get touched by it, they know.
Yeah.
So they're already
the
millions of people who did get it, you already know the drill.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
When I see those tweets, it's exciting because I'm seeing two generations like coming together.
Yeah.
And especially within a household. This was funny to me because I've had so many like people who grew up with my music, so saying, do you know what? I was having it out with my kids the other day, yeah? Because my kid was coming up to me telling me, yeah, I got this brand new garage tune from this guy, Craig David. You heard that Love Yourself cover? It's sick. And then the mum and dad said, yeah, but you don't know when I was raving at Coliseum to him when he was
you
doing the garage.
You conceived to this tune.
And I was like, wow. That's amazing to me. Because I've never experienced that kind of cyclical, kind of 15-year cycle.
Yeah.
And seeing two generations come together, which it's kind of, in some respects, can be unheard of for an artist, because you can come back as a nostalgia heritage kind of artist, but to have new music getting love,
that's the difference between you and other nostalgic acts. People only want to hear the old stuff, but people are really, really embracing the new Craig David now.
That excites me, really.
And I feel like you are pretty much at the spearhead of this, you know, this cyclical sort of movement that's going on. We are looking back to two step garage and grime and all the pirate radio station genres that we used to love, you know, and you know, there's so much scope for them to be spread now, so it's really, really doing all the good artists a favour, including yourself, you know. How did it feel growing up in Southampton though, making the music you made? Were you did you feel like a bit of an outsider?
Well, I mean, growing up in there, all you know is the environment that you're in. But when I moved out to London, I could, in hindsight looking back, I could see how the pace of life in Southampton was a really good thing for me, because it allowed me time to breathe, you know what I mean? I was just a kid who's making his tunes. And the great thing with the new single is, I got a quote from the second verse. It's so authentic as to what I was doing. When I say, Southampton, I was raised in the days. Remember when you used to pick me up from raves in the days, selling mixtapes instead of getting grades in my barbers, getting a quick fade and a shape. I remember those times when I was like going through the latter part of me. I was in college for a couple of years and I was just like, you know what? I just want to go sell these mixtapes. You know, I might as well get a nice little crisp shape up and a fade while I'm at it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was so kind of real to what was going on that I felt that the authenticity of the music I make now is harping back to those days when I was talking about things that were really going on in my life. And I think that shift for me, no one cares for me to be talking about, let me see your hands in the air, yeah, let's get wasted tonight. No one cares. But let next man do that. But when I'm talking from a sincere, authentic place and letting the melody just be simple and R&B and garage, it feels like Southampton allowed me that time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. it's incredible what you do with the sort of TS5 movement as well, because I've seen you perform, you know, sort of numerous times back in the day, obviously, like, you know, club PAs when Garage and that was at its apex, and sort of seen you perform now, like basically DJing and then just it's incredible. It's like it reminds me of like a non cheesy mobile disco.
No, I'm completely with you, bro. It's, you know what, I've seen the kind of way in which expanded the whole EDM scene for DJs to become the rock stars of the world. And I saw that movement where it was Calvin Harris and David Guetta, and even R&B, so many R&B artists from Kelly Rowland, Rihanna, Chris Brown, Usher were doing the EDM thing. It was huge.
Yeah.
And what I did realize, though, is that there always seemed to be either you're an artist performing or you were a DJ mixing who maybe have an artist come on and do a quick PA.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, let me just go right back to basics. This is back to Southampton. Because that TS5 party I did in Miami was what I was doing just as a DJ when I was toasting and MCing and DJing when I was 14, 15 years old then. Yeah. So what I'm doing now with that show is, I was like, why can't I play a throwback of someone else's, or play an instrumental and do a little freestyle over it, or play one of mine now, and then kind of then jump into an extra track and ad lib around it until it became TS5. And I felt that there was a gaping hole between the two, and I just thought, nah, I've got to join this together. Yeah. Especially when I saw DJs who are amazing coming to Miami to perform, and people would go to the party because they were excited to be part of that DJ playing, but they'd be at the table having fun as a group, but not engaged as to what was going on. They're like, oh, it's getting to the drop. Okay, cool. But I'm still not looking at the DJ. And I watched DJs from the VIP booth who were like, behind the console, who were like doing shots of tequila and having, I was thinking, well, obviously that can't be a full-on performance because you've got time to have a tequila shot.
Yeah.
As a performer, I was like, and I just sort of tried to bring the two together. So I give an hour set of just performance.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And the last time I saw you perform was at after the Brit Awards at the 100 Club.
Yeah, sick. I was there as well. It was a wicked gig.
It was incredible.
So
absolutely
sick.
Incredible. And yeah, like I said, it was just that kind of like, it was a mix between, like I said, like a mobile disco and like a sound system. You know, Jamaican sound system culture.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I grew up on, Kilimanjaro, Black Cat,
King Tambi,
Addis, man, Lord Gelly, all these guys. So seeing it, that's why when I did recently the party on the moon stage with Shy FX, the Carnival. I remember going to Carnival when I was maybe 17 years old. It was around the time when Rewind was just breaking.
Yeah.
And I'm in the crowd. No one knows who I am. I wasn't even in the video as well. So I'm hearing the sound system heavy playing. And then girls going, Craig David all over you. And bare beautiful girls are singing out the name. And I'm in the middle of it thinking, I'm here. But no one's going to believe it. I never ran over to the mic because I wanted to run over to the mic and just because it got rewound, pardon the pun, about four or five times.
Yeah.
I wanted it to own it. And I never did. And then fast forward 15 years to last Carnival, I went on stage for Party Moon. It was an emotional one for me because I pressed rewind to play and I had Interselect. And I was like, I'm having that moment of that 17-year-old kid again.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. We're just talking about it.
I'll be completely honest with you. Dirty secret I've got. I lost my virginity to Rewind.
What? Boop, boop, boop. Gunfinger.
Genuinely.
Listen, do you see what I'm... Weirdly enough,
I think there's a lot of people that can say that as well.
Genuinely.
It's mad to know that the music has... You know, going back to like the effect that it has on people, it's more than just me. That, you know what I mean? That's why a lot. I think artists at the start, you're hungry, you want to show the world what you're capable of. But then it gets to a point when I've seen that I've influenced so many people, been part of people's lives in such a way that you think, this is something that you love to do. Just make more music.
Yeah.
I get more excited about looking on my Instagram, seeing people turning up at the weekend to my tunes than anything.
But I see that all over your socials. You're always bigging up your fans. Like, I saw that you did a little video for someone's wedding the other day on your Twitter. All that kind of stuff is so important, I think, because they're the people that are there for you always.
It's the smallest thing you can do. If you start to get into that ideology of, oh yeah, I'm too big for that, I ain't got time for that, or, oh no, I don't want to take photos anymore, but yet... When they stop taking the photos of you, trust me, you'll feel it. And what is it you're giving up? It shouldn't even be an effort or a chore. What, you took a selfie with someone, now that person's going to like be able to have one of their days where they're telling their friends and they're hyped.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Give yourself. Because when you give yourself, it's weird how the universe gives so much back to you.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
I love it, man.
Life is about giving and receiving, because otherwise it doesn't work. Just quickly before we have to go, one more time is from your brand new album, which is coming out later this year. Can you tell us anything about it? Are you allowed to give us a title? Is it information? What can you give us info-wise about the new album?
Okay, in terms of just the feel of it, if you've enjoyed when the bass line drops, in particular, and One More Time Now, we're going back to the even Kay Trinada with Got It Good recently, which I released him. I've gone so back to the basics of it being R&B, garage, simple melodies, lyrics hopefully that you feel was written just about you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking it all too serious. And I'm just going, and when I did that the first time around, it seemed to have that effect. And I know that this time I've got so many songs that I'm going to have a tight album. Want to do it wasn't 25 songs, just tight album that you get to the end, hopefully.
It was
like
a playthrough LP.
LP. I'm back on that again. So I mean, and I'm in a good place, and that, like I said, the overwhelming love in this country in particular has been something very, very special for me to experience.
We've all lost our minds. I think you came at the perfect time, because it was like we all wanted you back, and then you were just there.
Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot. It's wicked.
Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Absolute legend, mate.
Thank you.
It's been Craig David, welcome back, and please stay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
When you're so in love, sometimes you gotta take a chance to break through. And when the world is not enough, that's what gives you everything or breaks you. Feeling empty, feel used. It's like we're running on fumes. A little broken, confused. But one thing I know for sure, ain't giving up on you. Ain't giving up.
I'm Harriet Rose, and I'm here with DJ Fresh, ladies and gentlemen. How's it going?
Hey, Harriet.
Are you enjoying your day of interviews?
Yeah, I am, actually. Yeah, I've been away for a while, so it's been I've been out of my rhythm.
Where have you been?
It's been good to get back into it. Thailand, the Maldives.
Oh, is this a holiday?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so
jealous. Actually getting really fed up of saying that. It's like every time I say the Maldives, I feel like I've just punched somebody in the face. Everyone's just like, oh.
Yeah,
because it's like it's the opposite.
It's a barrage of hate that you're getting for something that you just didn't try to have a nice time.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's like I didn't do it to piss you off. Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, like this time of year is, you know, traditionally very dead, like for the music business.
Yeah, God, shuts down, doesn't
no
it?
No releases. You know, all the clubs are shut. You know, everyone's spent their money over Christmas. So and
everyone's
New Year.
Sleeping.
Everyone's
and
asleep and hungover, apart from me because I don't drink now. But Yeah, it's like it's a good time of year to go away.
So you're probably able to get up in the morning and actually go and enjoy the sights and the sun and the weather.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. Very jealous. Well, now you're back. We're hearing your brand new single, which is so exciting, featuring Dizzy Rascal, How Love Begins. And you also did the track with High Contrast. What was it like kind of working with another producer and another artist on the track?
Yeah, great. Really good. I mean, Lincoln's like mad talented and he's got really cool ideas. And we've both got quite a similar musical heritage. That's like the second biggest word that I've used today.
I feel honoured.
You know, I wanted to say something for the end, man. But yeah, no, Lincoln's really talented. And because we've kind of got the whole sort of drum and bass, breaks, background thing in common. So someone I've known for quite a long time and we've been talking about working together. So it was really cool.
What was the inspirations with this one? Did you guys all go in the studio together or was it kind of you each brought your separate element and kind of merged them?
I don't know. I guess like we just kind of talked about the idea of what we were going to do, and then once we were both on the same page with an idea, it just all came about. Like, you know, I think
like
things
magic.
Like Lincoln's, you know, quite experienced and it's been around for a while. He knows what he's doing, and so someone like that, same as with me, it's like, or Diplo or someone like you know what you're doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you kind of decide what you're going to do, and then you do it most of the time, whereas when you're kind of starting out it might be a bit more haphazard. So with someone like Lincoln, it's kind of like the majority of the like the work is kind of sitting down and like being like, right, what are we going to do here? Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? And then once we kind of gone, we decided what we were going to do, it just all came together really easily. It was awesome.
The track makes me very excited for the summer. It's got a kind of like 90s noughties vibe about it as well. I love the video as well, very Mr. Motivator. What, was that the vibe you were going for, or did it just come out?
It's definitely come out a little bit crazier than I originally anticipated it being, to be honest with you. But I'm happy with it. I think it's really unique and it really sticks out, and I think that that's really cool. Dizzy's happy with it, and that's always going to be...
That's always a winner.
It's always a tough one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like me and Dizzy talked a lot around the single and about what he was going to record, and even with the video, he had quite a lot of involvement.
Yeah, which is so sick, the video.
Yeah, it's cool. And I think like just giving people that visual throwback element as well. So it's not just the music.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people said to me, like, I don't really understand, like, you know, how the video fits with the song because of what the song's about. And I'm like, well, it's not really... The song is really kind of like... We're not going to go too deep with the video, with the meaning of the song, because it's not like it's a dance record and it's supposed to be fun.
For me, like, as soon as I heard the track, that video made total, total sense. It really... For me, it, like, glued together completely. Just with the sound of the track, I felt like the sound was, like, that kind of, like... back to the 90s noughties vibe, like dance.
Yeah,
fun.
Exactly, and that's what the video is doing as well.
You always make wicked videos as well. Like, you definitely seem to have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is really
yeah.
important. And it must be fun for you to do.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's definitely the best and most nerve-wracking part of the whole process.
Yeah.
Because it happens so quickly. A lot of money goes into it usually. And it's like...
It's like one or 2 days, isn't it, usually?
Yeah,
choosing.
And you're literally like, you have this whole thing lined up and you've got it all. You're like, okay, we've chosen the actors. Like, we've got the treatment. We know where we're shooting it. We know who's directing it, who's the DP, all that kind of stuff. And then there's a massive element of luck.
Yeah.
Like, both around the weather, around, like, the casting and around, like, all these elements. And then everything goes quiet for, like, a week. And you're like,
waiting
oh shit,
the edit.
Like, this is like the most important thing for me for the first 6 months this year or whatever. You know,
yeah.
if I do like two or three singles a year, it's like a third of the year. It's like the most important result that you're
the
waiting
most nerve-wracking
for.
Third of the year.
And then it comes in and it's either like, oh, awesome, or it's like, oh shit, like that. And it's
nothing
like
we can do
damage
about
control.
It now. Oh,
how
yeah.
are we gonna fix it? And we've had a couple of those. We had a video actually for the Ellie Goulding track that I did, Flashlight.
Yeah.
We ended up having to pull the whole video.
Oh, no,
and
that
the
must
whole
have been
campaign was completely screwed. It was awful. But like, I think at the end of the day, it's like that.
You've got to do what you've got to do.
And the
you?
Commitment to it being good. And they can't always be great. But like, as long as, you know, the ones that are great are the ones that get out there, then that's...
And you're
that's
sticking
you
with what artistically suits you, which is the most important thing. If you don't feel like it's right, it shouldn't go out, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because you can't... The thing about releasing music is that it, especially in these days, it like follows you around. So things are on YouTube for years and years and years. You don't want to be looking back at like some 3 month period and it's always going to bug you forever. Do you know what I mean? So have to try to, you know, fight to get it right. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely not the case with this track, Animax, hottest record in the world. Do you ever get worried? I mean, you've had so many bangers, like so many tunes. Do you ever get that terrifying fear before you put out a single that it's not going to work and people aren't going to like it?
Only if, like, I'm, you know, being pressured into releasing it by some element that is, you know, that I'm, it's not coming from me.
Right.
You know, like if I'm...
You're not in control.
Yeah, like, say if my record label's into something and I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but I'm not happy, or, I don't know, like somebody's featuring on something and I'm not totally happy about the way something's being done. But as long as, like, you know, if I'm happy with it, I mean... Something I've always believed, it's like, you know, you do the best that you can do, and that's all that anyone can ask from you. Do you know what I mean?
And you seem to be doing a pretty good job of it so far.
I'm trying.
As we touched on before, you've collaborated with loads of massive stars and Dizzy on this track. Who's your favourite collaboration of all time? Is that a really hard question?
Probably Ella, I reckon, just because I just dig her, dig working with her.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She kind of feels like a little sister and... reminds me of my little sister a little bit, so it gets on really well with my fiance.
Which is always a positive.
It's good, yeah, totally. So probably Ella, but I mean, I have worked with a lot of awesome people. Diplo, I love working with as well. I like working with Dizzy. I love working with High Contrast. Yeah, I mean, I think generally, like, the ones that see the light of day tend to be the people that I get on with anyway.
Because the track works.
Yeah, like, you can't really have that magic with someone you don't get on with, do you know what I mean?
Not- yeah, definitely. Are you going to be hitting the festivals this year? Are you going to be gigging anytime soon? What's coming up next for DJ Fresh?
Well, we haven't released whatever the details or whatever the shows that we're doing
yet. Are you
not
allowed to tell us?
Apparently not. Yeah. Sounds ridiculous, but... I think, like, We Are Festival's been announced, so us and Fatboy Slim.
Oh, sick. That'd be amazing.
It's going to be really cool. But apart from that, it's all kind of hush-hush at the moment. But I'm really excited about this year. We're going out to play at Pasha in Macau, and also in Sydney in the next few weeks, and do a couple of shows in New Zealand as well, so... That should be cool.
And have you got, are you excited about your setup? Have you got a new setup for this tour, for these like gigs, or are you, what's the plan for them? Because I guess as a DJ, you have to do, like, you know, depending whether it's a live performance or a DJ set, you know, you've got to have all the different things going on in the performance. Because it's not like if you're a band or if you're just a singer on their own, they kind of
confetti,
do
confetti,
yeah,
lasers,
cannons.
Like, are we going to go for confetti or are we going to go for lasers?
Or are we going to go for both all the time, all the way through?
Yes. Are we going to alternate between the two?
It's just a health warning.
There's definitely, I mean, like, the visual side of it. Like, we kind of, I did this remix. I won't say what it is because it will ruin our set. But I remixed, like, one of my big tracks for the intro of our set, and like redesign all the visuals and stuff for that, and that's really cool. And that, those kind of elements are like the things that, the creative things that, you know, change year by year. There's like new visuals and new remixes and stuff like that. As far as the stage show goes, like, we're kind of like, there's a lot of people, you know, doing these big touring like light shows.
Yeah,
it's kind of become quite the thing over like the last 5 years.
Yeah,
and I kind of think it's a little bit corny. And we've kind of dabbled with that a bit. We had some stuff for my band, but that was slightly different because it's like a band all round stage. And the couple of times that we have had a really big light production, I've kind of just felt a bit uncomfortable usually behind it.
You're kind of just standing there like, what's like that? Lights,
just like, whoa.
Also, like, and maybe slightly terrified that like a firework's going to just come and
fly
into your face.
It's just like, whoa. But I think I don't know, like, I've kind of always found that with our shows, that the ones where we've got the least amount of that sort of stuff going on, basically the least amount of money being spent, are the ones where we get the best reaction.
Yeah.
And it feels like people just see you as being kind of like, you know, kind of like a sort of hero of the people, if you want, you know what I mean? Like, within music, rather than being like this big branded
showman,
sort of like show which is great because it's a lot less expensive touring around all these like crazy light things.
One more question before we go. I just wanted to find out, what is the one thing that you absolutely have to have on your rider, the most important thing?
The most important thing on our rider at the
moment.
Please
tell me it's like Labrador puppies, 15 Labrador puppies, or...
It is. I'm just trying
only
to see
Skittles.
My girlfriend because she knows like what the... what the rider is. What is it at the moment? We've actually got PlayStation 4 on the rider at the moment, which is ridiculous.
And what kind of games, though?
At the moment...
Grand Theft Auto.
At the moment, we're playing Battlefront quite heavily. It's kind of quite a big feature.
Isn't that quite like a scary game?
No.
Maybe just for me. I'm just quite scared of all the games.
But we don't drink, so that's always a thing. People are like, you know, how come there's no... alcohol on the rider.
Yeah, but you must have so much more fun because you're constantly just aware of what's going on and you're like...
Totally.
And especially if you're playing on the PlayStation on those scary games, I can't be, like, drinking if I'm doing that. It's too scary.
Yeah, no, like, we go... like, I was saying to Jamie, like, we go on stage now and it's like, originally, before we stopped drinking, we were kind of worried about, you know, how we were going to catch a vibe off the audience.
Yeah.
And now we're like, we're just going to smash everyone because everyone else is so wasted.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, have you met Steve Aoki?
No, I haven't.
Because he doesn't drink, and he's like...
And if you see his
crazy
live show, he's definitely having a good time.
He's literally crazy. Like we were in a restaurant in Ibiza, and he's like, man, you want to come and do star jumps with me? And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, fuck yeah, man, let's go do fucking star jumps. And he's like doing all these star jumps. He's like, whoa, like that. And at the time, I was like, I feel really hungover, and this is kind of weird. But now I'm like...
Now I totally get you.
Let's do star jumps.
Now you're the person on the other side going, hey, should we go and do some star jumps?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's great. Well, star jumps are good.
Well, you've left me feeling like more smiley than I'd been if I was pissed. So I'm really happy about
good.
That. Thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us.
All hands on the trigger, all eyes on the gun. They don't believe that we are strong enough to hold on. 'Cause I'm the only one to get you, the only one to figure you out. You're a place that I can go to, a face I couldn't live without. And nobody sees what we do. Don't need anybody else around, no matter what they tell. Gaining from it, that we should dare to dream. 'Cause I'm the only one to get you, the only one to figure you out. And there's nothing left to go through. Just look at where we are. Even gravity can hold us down.
the studio, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
We are so excited because we were going to have you a few weeks ago and then we missed you and now we've got you.
I'm here.
It feels like a proper, like, win celebration.
It is a win.
So, brand new single, Boom, which is massive. Absolutely massive. We've been playing it a lot on the show. Also, it comes alongside Don't Fuck With That. It's Don't Fuck With That, isn't it?
Them.
Don't Fuck With Them. And Station as well, which are all, like... They're kind of like B-sides and C-sides. I don't know how you describe it, but they all come together as like a little pack. But you've released some wicked videos for them as well. Basically, it seems like you've been having a lot of fun over the past few months. What's been going on?
Yeah, to be honest, that's what I do day in, day out, have fun. I feel like I'm happy that I've been able to resonate that in my music. And, you know, you lot can see that too. Basically, I just like to turn up. Either by myself or with my friends or in the studio, whatever it is. I'm just making sure we're always having a good time.
And you're just having like loads of fun, making music, doing the thing that you love.
Literally. It's the only thing I can do, really.
And you're really, really good at it. So that's lucky because it seems to have worked out well. We're absolutely loving it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going well. I can't complain.
Well, when we missed you in the studio, we basically spent the whole time discussing whether you'd be able to teach me how to freestyle like you can, because I was watching a few of your online videos and I literally just sat there like, and for those of you who are listening on the radio, I had my mouth open, like gaping.
I think you could tell that.
Yeah.
You could hear it.
Yeah. And we tried a bit of freestyling, didn't we?
Yes. I won't be trying it again.
I wanted to ask you is, like, when you're doing it, what are you thinking when you're doing it? Are you thinking like shit, I'm going to forget the words, and what am I going to say next? Or is it just like boom, 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 boom? Because it looks like it's boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, do you know what? Like, it's, I don't know, I feel like I've got, I don't know, maybe I've just got a pretty big word bank.
Yeah.
In my head. There was
something that I do not have.
I grew up like reading the dictionary. I read a lot. I like watching, like, I used to watch a lot of Desperate Housewives, and the narration in that is brilliant.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah.
But like, not at all what I thought the inspiration about Nadia Rose's music was going to be, the Desperate Housewives
narration.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's brilliant. Just like literally learning new words, finding out the meanings, and just kind of putting everything in, you know, into little tiny banks in the big word bank.
In the big.
Then, just extracting them and just making things work. But yeah, it's fun.
Do you tend to pre-plan it, or is it a bit of everything, I guess? Like, do you just go there and kind of do it, or sometimes do you think about what you're going to say and what you're going to...
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely prep. But at the same time, sometimes things are impromptu. Like, everything's a vibe, isn't
it?
A vibe. I always have freestyle bars, because a freestyle doesn't necessarily have to just be off the dome.
Yeah.
A freestyle can be something that was off the dome maybe a week ago, but now I'm doing it, it's no longer off the dome, but it was still a freestyle. Do you know what I mean? It's just vibes. I always leave it down to vibes.
Well, I really always try. Like, when I watch you do it, I'm like, yeah, I could definitely do that. That looks legit.
Mm.
I could, because you're like, I've got the vibe.
Yeah. Mm.
But the talent is just not there for me.
You've got
that's
the words.
My issue.
I think you've got the words there.
No, that's what I don't have. So your best advice would be for me to like read the dictionary, read
literally. Like the more you know, the more you're going to.
Because I don't know that much.
Right.
That's
you don't have difficult words though, because that's going to be hard to write.
Brontosaurus.
Would you ever put that into a freestyle?
Potentially.
Oh, okay.
I have no limitations.
A dinosaur freestyle.
Amazing.
That is a dinosaur, right?
Yes.
Yep. See, this is what I'm saying. It's really...
You've got a lot to work with here, Nadia.
Yeah, I can see that.
We do a lot of talking on this show as well.
Yeah.
And we must only use like a bank of like 50 words across the whole show.
Just repeat.
Yeah, there's no harm. But yeah, you know, I mean, I think it just, there's more excitement when there's more words, and I really like learning new words. Like, don't you just like when you hear something new, you're like, what the?
You
just want to know. You have to know what that word is, so you can use it in a heated argument.
I think that's the thing. Is to make you people want to know words so that they can sound
more intelligent.
Yeah, no, yeah. definitely.
Because that's why definitely. I falter. That's why everyone knows straight away that I'm an idiot.
Do you have like, words that you really like, though? Like, I really like plethora. That's a good word.
Oh, that's a
lovely
word.
That's a kind of, like, lovely word.
Plethora.
Like,
lots of.
A plethora. Yeah, I really like that.
That's
plethora.
Like the only, basically, you just named the only good word that I know. And
I'd like to. I should use it more.
My mum shouts at me because I say like all the time because like. I have nothing to say.
Yeah, yeah. I used to be like that, actually. Everything was just like, even if it didn't make sense.
But then I panic because then when I say like for a reason, I'm like,
what is that?
There you go. And there we have it. Why I will never be good at freestyling.
So we don't really know what you like then.
Yeah.
Do you like everything?
No, yeah. Everyone. And literally is another one. I said, oh my God, I need to stop talking now. So tell us a bit about Boom. So the video, it's like house party vibes.
Yeah, literally.
The most fun video in the world to film. It
yeah,
looks like.
Literally, we just wanted a kind of fly on the wall vibe rather than, you know, I mean, the videographer just like, oh, this is what's going on in the film.
Yeah.
In the party, sorry. Yeah. So it was like, all right, let's actually get it from how in the party, like actually the party's happening around you. And yeah, we basically just went out on a night out, got very turnt. I think I'm still recovering from that. Yeah, I feel like you can see that in the visual. It's basically, I just wanted to do something different and just wanted to get all my mates around me rather than just a lot of the videos I already have and some of the ones I'm already planning to put out. It's mainly just me in the video.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just show that I'm not alone. I have got mates.
You have got friends.
We do things away from, you know, the music. So yeah, that's what that video was about. And Boom, again, is just me having fun. I don't usually do 140, but when my friend, the Black Obsidian, also Bams, she produced that and sent it to me, I was like, what is going on here? What is this? Had to jump on it, started writing straight away, got in the studio. She was like, yep, you're perfect. This is correct. And then, yeah, everything just kind of snowballed since then. And I couldn't be happier with the result.
And then it's like your lead single now. So it's not only just like a track that you've done. It's like a banger.
Yeah, literally it's taken a turn that I wasn't expecting and wasn't planning, I guess.
And how does it feel to like be finally putting out singles that you feel like, I mean, obviously you've been putting out music for a long while, but you know, things are really picking up. Everyone's getting so excited about you. That must be so weird, like when you're just trying to have fun and make music and everyone's like, come and do this, come and do this, come and do this.
Yeah, no, literally it's like, I think, because it's just something that's just so natural for me, I didn't really think about all the things that came with it, I guess, because it's just what I do. But yeah, I guess as it's going on, I'm learning that these are obviously part and parcel, you know, making great music. You have to promote the great music, you have to...
And what about live performing? Because obviously freestyling is a bit different. You're in a booth, you're, you know, with one or two other people. Mm-hmm. Live performing, how do you feel about that? Do you enjoy it?
Oh, I'm in my element when I get on that stage, I tell you. Probably to a different extreme than when I'm in the booth.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I've always been a performer. Before I even was doing music seriously, I did acting, I did dancing, I was at a Brit school, stage coach.
Yeah.
I studied drama, studied music. So I was literally just always been a performer. Like, no matter what field I was going down, everyone knew I would be a performer.
You were in front of the camera.
And literally when I get on the stage, it's just like I give it my all. I'm not thinking about anything else other than giving. You know, I really love it when the audience gives it back to me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, all right, cool, I feel your energy, I feel what you're doing. I didn't pay £15 to just come and stand and lean up on the wall.
Yeah, they were
So I really enjoy the live element of it.
Have you got some coming up this summer?
Yeah, gosh, I've got a lot coming up this summer. We're doing a lot of shows, club shows, you know, promoting Boom. And then we're starting the festival circuit. I've got The Great Escape.
Sick.
Glastonbury Wireless.
And they've just put out the
first piece, I'm not on that one just yet, but...
but we can't wait to... I'm coming to Glastonbury.
You
Will's
are?
Coming to Glastonbury.
Sick.
We can't wait to see you. I can't... Because I've not seen you live yet.
You haven't?
No. All I've done is, like, sat like a weirdo on YouTube and just watched you. Does that make you feel weird? I'm like, hello, I'm just going to Google Nadia Rose again. But I want to see... I can't wait to see the energy because I can... Like, the way you speak about it even makes me excited. Do you know what I mean? It's like... Because the way you are excited... excited by what you're doing.
Yeah, no, you have to be. I can't imagine doing this and it just being robotic about it. Like, it's literally, it's too me to to pretend. So I look forward to, hopefully I'll see you.
Yeah, and have you been to Glastonbury before?
I haven't. I've never been to a festival in my life.
Oh my God.
And this year I'm doing about 10.
That's pretty sick, right? You've never been to a festival and the first time you go to a festival, you're performing at the festival.
And that's good as well. It means you never have to experience the real toilet. So brilliant. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
That's the best way to do it. Straight in at VIP.
Yeah, don't worry
straight
about
in
that.
At VIP. Yeah,
yeah. Probably get some nice food, get a bit of a rider. Perfect. That's the only way to do it, really, I think. Hopefully.
Why aren't we good at this?
Why can't we perform something? It doesn't have to be music.
You probably won't see us because we'll be in the hideous toilets.
Yeah, crying.
Not all day. just all day. I don't have a Glastonbury tent to sit in. In fact, in Glastonbury, just to let you know, they're not toilets. They are big holes in the floor.
You don't want Nadia to pull out of Glastonbury. Yeah, no. The PR's looking around like, no, they're not. They're lovely toilets.
No, they're lovely. Yeah. VIP, gold seats.
Lovely.
Yeah. No, they probably are for you, but for us, it's absolutely depressing.
Seriously.
But Glastonbury is funnest.
I'm looking forward to it.
And also, like, isn't, like, Skepta's play, like, there's some literally mind-blowing people playing. Are you able to hang around a bit, do you know, or are you going to have to go in and out?
I don't actually know.
You won't know until the day, will you?
Yeah, probably. They seem to want to keep things under the wraps.
Well, the one thing I wouldn't advise is what Kanye did, which was complain because there wasn't enough helicopters. So hopefully they'll have enough helicopters when you go, because he needed a lot more helicopters than they had.
Yeah. Oh, Shirley Bassey. Remember when she landed in helicopters in wellies, like this ball gown and wellies? Shirley Bassey.
I don't care if she's allowed complaining
to.
About
Dame
anything.
Dame Shirley.
Yeah, she can complain about anything.
She can. Yeah, it's fine.
It's Lord totally cool. Shirley.
Well, I'm definitely going to come and like find you, and I'm going to be like, Nadia. You'll be like, who is that girl? Get her away again.
Maybe. But you'll have learned some new words. You can start freestyling.
I'm like, Nadia, look, I've learned a word. Come and look at these toilets. Yeah.
She'll be like, oh God, I'm leaving.
She's
now.
Like, who is this girl? Yeah, all right, babe. See you later. Boom is a fucking wicked song. We're going to play it in a little second. Before we do, we've got some live shows coming up. Obviously, we've got the festivals. Are we going to be seeing, like, maybe a little EP dropping?
Definitely. This year, I'm definitely going to be sharing a body of work.
Ooh.
It's quite top secret at the minute.
Right. Not allowed to talk about it. What about collabs? Collabs? What about collabs? What about collabs? You're going to be doing any of those collabs that they keep talking about?
We love a collab.
Speaking of the body of work, I'm planning to release that September.
Sick.
That I can tell you. But yeah, collabs.
collabs.
New word.
Got it.
There's a new word.
Yeah.
It's not even a word, collabs. And it's not even pronounced correctly.
We're making it one.
Yeah. There's definitely a few on the way. I'll be honest. I'm not fussy, but I don't just want to work with anyone just because
that's
their
good.
Name
very good. Yeah. Very, very good.
Their status. I don't care about that. Do you know what I mean? No. Someone could have one follower on Twitter and be sick and weird. Yeah. Or getting so in the booth.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Because I've actually only got one follower on Twitter, so maybe I could get in the booth with you.
You could be a collab.
We could be a collab.
Yeah.
Again, she's like on the radio. She's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, get me out of here, get me out of here, run!"
Cool.
Let's go do a collab in the toilet of Glastonbury.
Sure.
Thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us as well, Nadia. We love you.
Some punchlines that'll go over your head. Turn back, I'm a portion ahead. I'm your worst nightmare, stood over your bed. So them girl try call me, but I smell defeat like a hole in your breath. Wow, she's sick and she's bad. She sings and she raps, she shit and she's whack. They talk all that chat, but when they see me, don't speak none of that. Cause nobody bad like me. I'm fucking higher than a block of flats and batter. See, whoa. And I'm with my team.
Squally,
Squally, where you at, my J?
I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squad. That's what? That squad. I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squad. That's what? That squad.
I'm only 10 gal up in that squad. Fucking with my squad?
I think not. Me
and my bitches, we roll deep, and we always got green, so we pretty much peas in a pod. I was at the scene, had to flee from the cop. I go inside with no keys for the locks. Excuse me, madam, how did you get on the premises? Well, I came to kill up my nemesis, so I used my juju when I came up in the crevice. And bitches say they're bad, but I'm from where the fucking devil is. So if they get me mad, we're in the yard, disturbing residents. And we leave out the yard, up in the car, dispose the evidence. Go. Nobody bad like us.
Nobody bad like us.
But really, we don't want no fuck. Someone roll them blunt so we can turn shit up. Squally, let me see you brush your guns. I'm rolling 10, yeah, up in that squad. That's what? That squad. I'm rolling 10, yeah, up in that squad. That's what? I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squaddy. Came true with the clan, came true with the posse. I came with Mary Jane, some came in it with Molly. Nuff gal in it, that's the way you roll, squaddy. Nuff gal in it, that's the way you roll out. It's a lion's good, you have to get your phone out. Bare skin teeth when we pose for the photo. Some gal are braided, some gal are in combos. But still, one dread if we have to. The heart is still like a statue. Been on my grind like my back tooth, yeah. Take out the time, but I fight zoot. What else? Step on the gas, take the back room. Why? Cause if my bitches need me there, well, I'm coming. And if I ain't got the wish, yeah, I'm running. I do it for a minute, nothing. Squad, let me see you brush your something. I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squad. That's what? That squad. I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squad. That's what? That squad. I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squad. That's what? That squad. I'm rolling 10 gal up in that squad. That's what? That squad.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.